Music from Chicano Batman from their record, self-titled record that came out earlier in the year on Club Unicornio. And the song, once again, was... which one was that? That was
La Masona,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the guys are back here in the studio with me. And once again, I want to thank you very much for coming in and doing the set. And just want to talk with you about a couple things. Relatively new band. I know I heard you first from a post on Oliver Wang's Soul Sides. And he's good friends with Franco, who heads up Unicornio along with DJ Lingua. And another artist on there is also an old friend of ours. So kind of word of mouth.
Right.
Was a way that I heard about the music and was happy to kind of get it and play it and bring you guys out here. But how long have you guys been together as Chicano Batman?
September.
We're 2008.
This is 2 years now. This month.
It's 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's really a pretty young band. How did you guys originally meet?
I met Eduardo a long time ago, just party circuit, like university kids. Partying.
Jamming.
Yeah, we jammed a few times.
He was playing a Caetano Veloso song, and then I was wondering where he heard that, because I thought I was the only one that loved him. Tranza, 1972, and then we just hit it off from there. And then Gabriel, we picked him up from where?
I saw this cat at a Very Be Careful show.
Yeah, Cumbia Vallenato.
So we were just there, and eventually we came down to like different dates. Right? We got together from there in my backyard, and we started playing. We practice different places, man, from La Mirada to San Dimas to
Highland
East
Park.
LA and Highland Park.
When did you guys hit on this sound? I mean, it's hard to describe the sound of Chicano Batman. It's in some ways it's kind of a retro kind of sound to this very kind of specific kind of Los Angeles kind of sound from the early 1970s. And in some ways there are also all these other elements that just come out there. I mean, like, I know that you guys are big fans of Tropicalia. You just mentioned that, you know, in some ways Caetano Veloso brought you together. A lot of that stuff seems to come in there too. But I mean, how did you guys kind of figure out this sound?
Well, man, I know that we all like different things. Like, we all like a lot of different influences. I mean, first of all, I like to say that, you know, like, this band, like, it was kind of like, I guess, my brainchild in the sense that I had that in mind of having a band that plays old school music like Los Angeles Negros, for example, or Caetano Veloso, like with that appearance, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, and then it just kind of evolved from there because we all had our own take on that. And I think all of us have kind of taken that vision and interpreted it and distributed it and perpetuated it in different ways. So having said that, I think like, I don't know, Eduardo, I think you should say your influences. Well, I think Gabriel should say his, and we'll go from there.
For me, obviously Tropicalia, I'm a big fan of that stuff, and grew up with my uncles, my padrino, Jorge Mitochisco, Teolaino. All of them used to play Los Yonix, from Tucanes to Bukis to Caminantes, all that good stuff, backyard stuff. And I was just a little kid, just helping them around, carrying their drum set and equipment, and that kind of stuff just stuck to me. So we listened to Recuerdo and all these other radio stations, mm-hmm. and that stuff's just straight soul. You know,
yeah.
Just there's no need for explanations, no need to take it apart and kind of dissect it musically. We just feel it because it's like it's in our blood. It's in my blood for sure. So it's kind of easy connecting with Bardo on this aesthetic because it's already there. You just kind of got to pull it out. You know, and Gabriel, it's a whole different story.
Don't ask me. I'm just a Colombian band. I grew up with these rhythms, Latin rhythms. I love oldies. I love 60 music. Since I heard Caetano Veloso, I just got in love. I just love his music and Brazilian styles. I love samba. And these rhythms just got me into my soul and hit me straight up. And I love it.
This guy's crazy. Like, he lived in France for like
seven years.
5 years. Almost six, yeah.
So like, he has a whole musical experience there, you know what I'm saying? So he's bringing like all that experience of like being in school and learning. I mean, he's the only cat that I know who's like, he could play Brazilian rhythms, he could play samba on like the drum set. That's why like I fell in love with this guy the first time I met him. I was like, we could play samba?
Love it for sight.
Like, there it is.
Yeah.
So definitely, Gabriel is like the center of our band in terms of like like the rhythm, like he could play any rhythm. So it's like
we make him work really hard.
Push forward.
Like. We don't like to land on the one. We like to land on the one end, three end. So you know,
I like that concept, the one end. Yeah, I mean, and that's something that comes through in the music because it definitely travels places. It has, even though the sound and the references are very different references than they pulled out of Brazil in the 1960s or some other movements that in some ways the music kind of connects to. Like it all comes together in some really, really interesting ways. One of the things that I was also interested in, and a caller, this is a question I was thinking about before coming down here, and a caller who called up while you guys were playing kind of, I guess kind of put it into focus in a slightly different way. But you know, the music in terms of kind of the face value of it doesn't have really an overt kind of political kind of tinge to it, but in the same way that a lot of hip-hop music to me is very political, just in terms of being able to give a voice to people who don't normally have a voice, it seems like that also seems to come through in your music. A caller had called up and just saying how good it was to hear Chicano music on KPFK, and that's a sound that you don't really hear. I mean, you hear it on Recuerdo certainly, but you don't really hear it on a lot of community radio stations. And I was wondering if that's a part of it, because I know that both of Barlo and Eduardo have certainly a bit of a political influence from your student days, and was wondering just how that works into the music of Chicano Batman.
Well, yeah, I know everybody has a particular views on that. Mine are that just, you know, I mean, everybody's a musician, and there's different musicians out there. And I know Chris Ziegler from LA Record, and I put it to him this way. Mm-hmm. And he became a good friend of ours, and he's definitely helped us out in different ways by putting our name in his magazine. But the way I looked at it is, like, I looked at LA Record, and I knew of it, and it's just, like, indie bands from LA. But they're mostly, you know, Anglo-American, European, mm-hmm. you know, from that background. And it's, like, you know, you don't really see... Like, there's a lot of creative heads, like, in, I guess, the Latin, you know, putting it that way, mm-hmm. The Latin scene here in L.A., you know, like East L.A., mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of bands, like, that play for mostly Latinos, right? But they're not exposed, or they're not giving credit for being, you know, for having that creative edge, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're just kind of, you know, oh, those guys are Latin music, you know, just uh-huh. that overall type of category. But the point is that you know, we're trying to get up there, and we're trying to have people hear our music, and I know and we know that the music from Latin America, particularly, I mean, the music from, like, Latin America in the 60s, like, you know, you had a record by Los Diplomáticos, that song is just as good as The Doors, you know,
from, yeah.
you know, like, that music is just as good as the music from the 60s in LA. Like, mm-hmm. You could think of the Monterey Pop Festival, you know, and then you could think of, like, some music festival in Brazil, like some show at the Vila Velha in Bahia, you know what I'm saying? Like, they had their own shows, and they had their own aesthetic, you know, except with a lot more rhythm, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But not to hate on the Monterey Pop Festival, because I love it. We love it. But I'm just saying that, like, definitely Latin America has a lot to offer. And Latin America is very complex in terms of, like, its rhythms and where the music comes from. Particularly, like, obviously the political situation, but also, like, even before that, you know, just the how mixed it is in terms of, like, you know, Afro and indigenous influences within Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
And there's talking to Bardo about this. Like, if we were to be at a concert, say Monterey, say a festival in 1972, and then you have, like, Miles Davis is playing, and on the sidelines you have, you know, you have Chico Che just watching what he's doing, and then you have, like The Doors hanging on the other side, and then you have, like, Los Angeles Negros, and you have all these different bands from all over the world just watching what's going on stage, and there's a mutual respect for the art that's coming out from all over the world at the same time. And there's, like, there's a lot of love, you know, and a lot of respect that you know, I imagine that's given to that kind of art that's coming out at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think for us at now, it's just as relevant. You know, we just love what we're doing right now. We absolutely love it, and I think that's, like, I guess that's the message. You know, just love what you're doing, because, you know, there's where your soul's at.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange thing because, you know, as a collector, and, you know, I look for a lot of music from a lot of different places, and that's, you know, it's kind of the theme of the show being a melting pot. It seems almost to me that that period of time, mid-late 60s, early 70s, you actually had a lot more kind of cross-fertilization of different sounds, and like you hear or see cover versions on records from Colombia, from the United States, and kind of like you hear just all these different sounds, almost more than it seems nowadays, even though we have more technology, more ability to kind of share all this music. Things almost seem a little bit more segregated, kind of the way you were talking about, particularly with the indie scene in Los Angeles. It has this very kind of particular connotation with it.
Right.
You know, and that's one of the things, again, that I really enjoy about your band. It's a really difficult sound to describe to somebody if they don't have those cultural references in a way.
Right.
But it's also a very easy sound for people to feel as soon as they hear it, because it has all those different styles. You know, you can drop it in a set with like some nice vintage soul or more kind of retro soul sounds, and in some ways very kind of a hip-hop sensibility in a lot of the sounds as well. And there's also this is kind of the thing that I was, you know, not surprised about the kind of influence from Tropicália, because there's almost, I can't think of any other way or word to use than kind of absurd. Like there's this absurd quality to the music and how everything comes together, and kind of that same kind of absurdist quality that's in like that early Tropicália stuff from Caetano Veloso, especially when you think about the live performances in addition to the music, and just how like, huh? Like they're doing what? Like yeah. That kind of like with the stuff that's happened with the keyboards at times on this record. What kind of keyboard is that?
It's a Casio tone, like 401. Uh-huh. Like that. I think it's from I haven't looked it up on the internet.
What swap meet did you get it at?
I got it at the Cypress swap meet.
There you go.
Yeah, I got it for like, yeah, just, yeah, man, that's where I got it. It's $40. I recently got a Yamaha, man. I got a Yamaha, like, this crazy organ from the 70s, yo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I'm just really amazed with it, too. It has everything on it. It has two registers. It has like, you know, you can mix the brass or the flute, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the label of it, but it's a lot better than mine, I'll tell you that. Like right now, that organ that I have that I just bought for $25 from some neighbor, like had glue and coffee all over it. Like. But yeah, anyways, man, yeah.
Yeah, it's been
I love old keyboards, man, and that's definitely, I've always been moved by that. Just like Eduardo was saying, like we got that in the blood, you know, like parents, my mom and stuff like that. I know she was listening to Roberto Carlos, and like, I mean, yeah, I thought about what you had said, you know, and the interview with LA Record, and definitely, man, like, that's what it is.
And I think one thing about us being based in LA that I always think about when we play, you know, and especially the hipster scene and all that, mm-hmm. was going on, and with gentrification that's going on with our city, you know, I think that's important for all of us to recognize. You know, we go to some of these old neighborhoods, say, I used to not walk down, but when I was a kid, drive down Sunset, and that, you know, it was deserted, you know, back in the early 90s and the 80s, and now, whoo, it's a whole other place,
mm-hmm.
right? But with that new image comes a new people, comes a new music, comes a new face, you know, and I think for us, we're just fortunate that we're just doing what we're doing, and we're just a constant reminder that LA was here, too, before mm-hmm. all this new scene, all this new face started coming about, and, you know, and it's here to stay, too. You know, it's cultivated from here, and it's going to stay here, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely appreciated. A couple things just to kind of close out this interview. One, I'm wondering, you know, this record, I guess, when did you guys recorded this record? Last year?
We recorded this record like 6 months into the band.
Okay.
You know, we just hit it hard.
And really fresh.
Down.
Yeah. Any plans on recording anything in the near future?
We have a couple songs that we played one tonight. We just got that together on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, Saturday, and we just rehearsed it for the day. And so, we don't need to go into a studio. We just need to go into each other's rooms and turn on, you know, Fresh Record, because we all got equipment to do that. That's how we did the last album.
Mm.
So, you know, the way the industry is going now, it's just about setting aside time for each other and doing it. But I think from now to December, we should have like 5-6 songs recorded. Easy.
Right. Probably like a single. Probably put out a single, you know.
That'd be cool. Seven-inch or a 10-inch, something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll definitely send it my way.
Sure.
So there are a couple of shows you guys are playing. I know Eagle Rock Festival, which is next weekend.
Yeah, that's Saturday of next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's in, I don't know, I didn't get the address for that one.
I'll try and bring it up. At least I'll be able to tell it before the end of the show.
Eagle Rock?
But it's, Eagle Rock.
Yeah, it's right there on Colorado between Townsend and Verdugo, Eagle Rock. I'm sure it's going to be on the strip right there.
Yeah. And
we're playing on the we're playing on the Dub Lab stage. So we play at 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock sharp. So things there should go.
Okay, it's always on time. So a show earlier this week as well, right?
Yeah, we play Tuesday at the Hip Kitty in Claremont. The address is 502 West First Street. We're playing with the Truffles, a really good band. These guys are really good as well, man. I think you should check them out. They're on Facebook. And the guys have like a really old school sound too. I'm influenced by those guys in terms of like even like in 2005, those cats were playing like just soul. I mean, they have a guy playing the Rhodes and a guitarist and a bassist and a drummer. But I mean, these guys have that feeling as well. You know, they definitely try to get that or have really good sensibilities to that type of music, to soul music. So yeah, I mean, it's gonna be a good show. I think it's a really good combination in terms of like, you know, the aesthetic similarities between us. And yeah, it's going to be great. So I think a lot of like college kids from Claremont are going to head out. So be part of the mix, roll through. And we're that's Tuesday. That's Tuesday, this Tuesday, the 28th of September. And then we're going to play after the Eagle Rock Music Festival on October 2nd. We're going to play at Mal's Bar. Yeah. It's going to be a party, you know, a lot of cumbia. You know, a lot of people just dancing there. So that's the address is 2331 South Hill Street. And that's south of downtown LA. That's called Miles Bar. So, yeah, please come down. Make your presence known.
Yeah, so a lot of chances to check out Chicano Batman in the coming week. And they're not going anywhere. So there'll be a lot of chances to check them out in the near future. And the next time we have you down here, well, you know, hopefully we'll have a full band set. And a proper sound man, because I need to fire the one that I had today.
Your other half?
my evil twin sound man. All right, so once again, Chicano Batman in our studios. You heard him pretty much most of this hour. And thanks again, guys, for coming through. I really appreciate
it. You're welcome.
I'm going to close things off with another song from their record, Ito Tani, the name of the track. Once again, from Chicano Batman here on KPFK 90.7 in Melting Pot.
Itotiani.
Fuerte al sentir su alma renacer. Ella tiene aire a Teotihuacán, su piel tiene el color de mazapán. Vuelta al ritmo del tambor, su alma va comunicando amor. Oh. Y mira, oye, siente y Totiani. Siempre van a parpadear con ojos fijos hacia el cielo, con pulmones abiertos al mar. Ella es vientre de creación y Totiani, tú me mueves.
ya ni tú me mueves. Muéveme a mí. Y todavía ni tú me
Yanni.